following is a remastered version of the Pulse Gamecast, a production of Holosuite Media. Tune in to our live show every Tuesday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Hey guys, welcome to the Pulse Gamecast, episode 26. I'm Gradle.
And I'm Jason.
Today's record date is May 20th, 2014. We've got actually a fairly decent amount of news and whatnot. I got off my butt and actually contributed to the show. So we'll hop right into it. Jay, what you been doing?
Well, one of the guys at my job quit, so I got a Mac just to play with.
Okay.
Yeah, so we're short people at work, which I'd have to do twice the work, but now that I've got it, the old Mac that I used to have back, it's not a bad Mac. It has the NVIDIA 320M in it, so, but it's like the old, you know, 2011, like a late 2011 MacBook. Mm-hmm. But it runs NVIDIA on it, so you can run games on it. It's not a beast or anything, but it actually runs some fairly decent games. So I brought it home, cleared everything off, reinstalled it, got it up to OS X Mavericks, and then installed Steam and just to see which one of my games in Steam would, you know, convert over. Mm-hmm. And I had a pretty good chunk of games that I could play. Batman Arkham was actually one of them, Game of the Year Edition.
Nice, yep.
That was on there. And I put, you know, standard stuff, Global, was it CS? So, and I put Hacker. And a few of the others on there. But believe it or not, I found out and didn't know this. You remember the old Jedi Academy and what was the other one? Jedi, dadgummit. It's like one of the first person shooter Star Wars games.
Oh, Dark Forces?
Dark Forces, yeah, but it's the second and third one. Not the first one, but the second and third one. Jedi Academy and Revenge of the Sith or something like that.
Yeah.
You know which ones I'm talking about.
Uh-huh.
Those two are actually, when they re-released them for PC, they also re-released them for Mac.
Ah, gotcha. Okay.
So we actually were able to play these super old games on there, and it was actually a lot of fun.
Yeah, and I've actually gone back and played the Dark Forces one. You know, it looks like the old Doom.
Yes.
Yeah, that same engine, yeah. Yeah, they're kind of fun. Yeah.
It is fun. So I did that, and obviously I played some MechWarrior, and I played a little bit of WildStar. Got three characters on WildStar now, one good and two good, and one whatever the Dominion version is.
Yep.
And then I got then I played some MechWarrior Online. That's pretty much all I've been doing. What about you?
Well, as usual, I've been playing Mass Effect 2 on my Mel Shepard character. The this time I'm going Adept. If you're not familiar with Mass Effect, the Adept is essentially a caster. They have biotic and tech powers, and then the Adept is very armor light, very weapon light, but they have those powers, so they just blast everything. Been playing that. I also played in the WildStar, the open beta that was going on. Jay and I were talking a little bit before the show, and he said he had started an engineer. In one of the closed betas, I had an engineer, but I actually rolled up a Chua engineer. And the Chua are on the Dominion side, which are the bad guys. And they're kind of like, honestly, they remind me of Gremlins.
Yeah, they look like Ratchet out of Ratchet and Clank.
Yeah. And that's what they are. They're all technological and everything. And of course, the engineer is a ranged tank, and you went scientist. I think I went the one that builds stuff. Explorer? No.
Yeah.
Settler.
No. Settler, that's it, Settler.
That's it. So I did a Chua Engineer Settler. So I honestly didn't play a whole lot of the WildStar because I don't want to burn out before the game launches, but I did log in every day to get my boxes. And get my boom boxes. And like Jay and I were talking before the show, finally got my Guild Wars 2 crap settled out. You know, I mean, literally 15 days it took to get all that crap. I don't even know. And, you know, before the show, Jay was saying, so now that you're up and running, you think you're going to actually play? And I don't know. I don't know if I am. You know, honestly, if Jay plays, I'll probably jump in and play as well. I also have a friend who's a voracious Guild Wars player. So those two guys will bring me back. But for the most part, it's kind of left a sour taste in my mouth at the seemingly ineptness of ArenaNet's tech support. But, c'est la vie, I guess, first world problems. All right, let's, you know, actually, I have a question for you, Jay.
Sure.
So your coworker that quit, was this one of the guys that you were thinking about doing a MechWarrior clan with, or land, or whatever?
Yes.
Oh,
one of the two, yeah, figures, right?
Retro. Yeah.
That's okay. We still. I picked up another one. Who's he lost his car, so he can't go home. I, for those out there who don't know, I work at a university, so a lot of times we'll get what I call castaways. They're like the little Harry Potters, and they can't go home, you know, because they're from like New Zealand or Canada or wherever. So if I come around during the summertime, I'll see all the little, I don't know what you call them, little Oliver Twists, you know, running like, man, Melissa. And I'm like, yeah, sure, I'll hang out with you. Let's play in the computer. And, you know, it's the computer labs, and I'm in charge of it. I go up there like, yeah, sure, go ahead and play in the computer labs.
Sure.
But that being said, those guys are really good, and a bunch of them are players, and, you know, they're just like, ooh, I'll play. So we might actually get a clan going, especially since what we're going to talk about later, or at least I'll talk about later.
Right. Good. All right, let's jump into news. Our first little bit of news. You know, this is a game that we've never talked about, and we probably will never talk about again. Acheron's Call. Now, Acheron's Call 1 and 2, which are still running, August 1st will become free to play. Now, Acheron's Call, the first one, launched in November of 99, the rough time frame as EverQuest, EQ1, and Ultimate Online, I believe. So those were kind of the big three MMOs as we know MMOs today. And Acheron's Call 1 to this day is still running, and it is still a sub game, and people are playing. Now, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that was a Korean, wasn't it? Acheron's Call, wasn't that a Korean insert? Because that's what put NC, isn't that one, the one that put NCSoft on the map?
No, it was actually Microsoft.
Was Microsoft? Is that what it was?
Microsoft.
I'm thinking of a different one. Okay, my bad.
No, it was actually Microsoft up until 04, and then Turbine took it over, and they've had it ever since. So Acheron's Call 2 launches in 02, does horribly, and they close it in 05. What they then turned around and did is back in 2012, they launched it. It said in the article they launched it as a, or I'm sorry, on the wiki, they said they launched it as a beta, but the game is still running. Now, the thing is, Acheron's Call 2 was only available for people who had an Acheron's Call account when the game closed in 05.
Wow.
Yeah. So you had to have played for 7 years and had a current account and then subbed to Acheron's Call 2 when they relaunched it. That's crazy. But yeah,
so not a niche market at all.
Oh my gosh, dude. But you know, the players are still there. They're still there. So yeah, those games are going free to play. Like I said, August 1st of this year, subs will end on, of course, July 31st. And, I guess you can jump in and see what all the hoopla was about. I actually watched a little YouTube video when Acheron's Call, because I didn't play it. I played EQ when it launched in 99. And the graphics look a lot like the very first vanilla EQ, if you remember that. Blocky and...
Oh, you know. Boy, do I.
Yeah, right. So, but, you know, if you want to check out one of the big three, August 1st, it's there to try. All right, let's move on. WildStar is rapidly approaching its release date of June 3rd. However, you have to pre-order, I believe, before May 31st, because that's actually when the head start begins. So, you know, if it sounds kind of interesting from what Jay and I are talking about, or of course, go check out the numerous videos Be sure to pre-order. So jump on that bandwagon.
Might just do that.
Yeah, Jay and I were talking before the show, and currently, I know I'm not. I don't think you were either. Neither one of us are currently subbed to anything.
Nope.
Any MMO. But we both have said that we probably will sub to WildStar when it comes out. It's a fun game. I like it.
Same.
Jay, why don't you go ahead and tell us about your Titanfall news.
Oh, man, Titanfall, right? What, has it been out a month and a half?
Yeah.
Month and a half already, and we're losing two game modes off the PC version. So for a game that's built around multiplayer, because I've talked to multiple people, and I mean multiple people, have all said the same thing. Is it a graphically stunning game? Yes. Is it fun to play? Yes. Is it, you know, easy to catch on to? Yes. Does it have everything you need in a first-person shooter? Yes. Does it have an incredible, you know, first-person campaign?
Like, right.
So, well, tell me about the first-person campaign. They were like, well, they sort of glued it around the mesh of the first-person shooter multi-online. I was like, okay, so what you're saying is, yeah, they're like, yeah, so the first-person campaign is pretty much an extension of the first-person shooter online. I was like, okay. That being said, what do you think about the multiplayer? And then they go on and on about how good the multiplayer is. Well, that's good, but here we are a month and a half in, and they're losing Capture the Flag and Pilot Hunter. And they've officially announced this. They're taking it offline for multiplayer general. It's going to still be available for variety and private matches, which means you're hosting it yourself, I'm under the impression. But as far as, you know, hosted, you know, on the server public matches, Capture the Flag and Pilot Hunter will go away on, say which day that was. Oh, they didn't say. They didn't. The two game modes, Kalyana week. But that being said, they released this, Respawn released it on Twitter, so they didn't give an exact date, but they said that those two modes are going away. So,
wow. Or did they say if they're replacing them with something else, or?
They did not, and that, truthfully speaking, is kind of telling too, because, you know, any good PR person would spin that with, oh, you know, this isn't getting as many people, but we do have this, you know, and we're going to enhance this. They just flat out said, we're losing these two things. And now, again, this is for PC, so this was only in PC that they were stating this, so.
That's weird.
Yep.
Yeah, well.
No, I would say, do you play Titanfall?
No, definitely not.
With Origin having it at 33% off last week, I almost bought it. I really did. I almost bought it. It was $32 or something like that for Titanfall. And we're talking about a, you know, AAA brand new game, and it was they had a whole bunch of stuff 33% off last week, and Titanfall was the lead off game, right?
Wow. Yeah.
So, but I didn't get it, and I'm kind of glad I did now. So, something tells me it'll probably go for half off in the next 2 to 3 months.
Right. Definitely. Definitely. Let's. I found a little bit of not really news, but honestly, a game I wasn't aware of because I'm just not a big Civ fan, and that's Civilization, Sid Meier's Civ. But this game honestly kind of grabbed my attention. It's Civilization Beyond Earth. It's a new game coming out. Honestly, I didn't notice the release date. I believe it's towards the end of this year. But it's Civ, but sci-fi. And I loves me some sci-fi RTS, or well, it's Civ, so it's turn-based. But I love some sci-fi sims. So it's got everything you're used to in Sims. Pick your faction, you know, do your research and your production and move around your hex map. And now, of course, it is sci-fi and Beyond Earth, so you will colonize your planet. You'll build, they said you'll be able to build stuff in orbit, so defense platforms and jumping off points for starships. And then, of course, ultimately heading out into the galaxy and colonizing other planets. It looked cool. Like I said, I'm not a big Civ fan, but this did kind of get me. Have you played any Civ, Jay?
I do. I currently have Civ 4 and 5, and I played it from back in the day. My wife's father, I'd like to say my father-in-law, but my wife's father, let's just leave it at that, plays Civ, and he is incredible at that game. And when I mean incredible, I've seen his maps. Like, I've walked in and seen his maps over at his house, and I was like, oh my God. I mean, he's got cities, you know, it looked like layer cake cities. I was like, oh my God. And he's got them. He exploits everything. He plays on the most advanced mode with largest, you know, map he can get his hands on. He exploits the, you know, the politics and modifying local economies and there. He's just crazy with that. But I'll tell you this, and this is what I was going to ask you. Do you remember, and I think we might have talked about this before, Alpha Centauri? Did you never play that?
I did not. But, and we have talked about something. Aren't they rebooting that?
That's what I think this is. Well, I mean, I'm not saying this is the it because basically Alpha Centauri was Civ on another planet.
You're right.
But it was for Axis Games.
You're right. Yep.
And I loved Alpha Centauri. I mean, I absolutely loved it. And I think we may have talked about it because I said, why don't they put that on GOG? Because I don't think they have yet.
Mm-hmm. No, I don't think they do. But I think you are right in that Civ Beyond Earth, I think, is supposed to be like the reimagining of Alpha Centauri. I think you're right. Now that you say that.
Nope, I was wrong. They do have it on GOG now. Must have just recently come out. $5.99.
Oh, wow. That's, you know, GOG.com, good old games.com.
Yeah. I might get bought tonight.
Right. Yoink.
Whoops.
So, in the semi-near future, look for Civ Beyond Earth if you're a Sid Meier's fan. Just a real quick little thing I want to throw in here. There's a new game. It's coming out. It's a survival horror game. So, you know, Resident Evil, Dead Space, things like that. The game is called Among the Sleep. We'll have a link in the show notes. I watched the minute and a half trailer, and honestly, it scared the crap out of me. It was freaking terrifying. Now, what's really bad about this game and what's really different is you play a 2-year-old. You are a baby.
Oh, my God, really?
Yeah, you're a 2-year-old in a onesie. And it looks like you're among the sleep, so something is stalking you in your dreams. Dude, watch the trailer, man. Like I said, it scared the shit out of me. It was horrifying.
Oh my God. You
know, I'm telling you, dude, it's
I'm looking at it right now.
That's
bad.
You know, I talked quite a few shows ago about trying to watch a trailer for a game, Outlast. God dang, that was another one of those that just I couldn't even watch the whole thing. It was horrifying. So survival horror games are stepping it up, and I mean, with your freaking, the music sets the mood, and I mean, you know, survival horror, just think, like, if you've played Dead Space, you start off, you know, with that, the rivet gun, which doesn't do a whole lot, and your armor is pretty crappy, so you have to survive through that. Well, god dang, a 2-year-old, you are...
No, man!
Dude,
that's
that movie...
Wrong.
Or that game, that trailer, man, just freaked me out. And they're talking about soon, it's probably going to have a demo version on Steam, as well as downloadable through the website, which is krillbyte.com/ATS. Like I said, we'll have a link in the show notes.
Yeah, this was come up by, like, Rob Zombie made this, didn't he?
Oh, man, that thing that's stalking him? Holy crap. Oh, my God, it scared me the first time it looked back. The kid looked back and saw him. Oh, man, and those doors are slamming. You have nowhere to run. Scared the crap out of me. All right, Jay's got some MechWarrior news.
No, get out of here. Me? Really? Anybody who's familiar with our show knows I can't stand MechWarrior because
right?
I talk about it every week. Well, this week they dropped a lot on us between last week and this week. They've been working on the new team battles, which, you know, if you're going to have a first-person shooter, have that in place. I'm glad they finally got it in place and it's solid. But now they've got a team tournament, which is their very first team tournament ever. It's going to be launching this week. And it's kind of hard to say. It's bracketed. There's an event schedule starting on May 18th and May 19th. It's going to be 32 teams, 16 games, and then it's going to go up the 23rd and the 24th. They're going to have 8 games of 16 teams, and May 29th, 4 games of 8 teams. Semifinals are going to be on the 30th, 2 games with 4 teams, and the final is going to be 1 game with 2 teams. The last 3 quarterfinal, semifinal, and final will be video streamed live. So that's going to be pretty wicked. I mean, you already know who's going to be playing, what the version's going to be, Assault, Conquest, or Skirmish, what maps they're going to be using, how long it's going to be. So they've got this really mapped out, you know. I mean, a lot like, I guess they're taking cues from League of Legends here. And I think they're doing it very well. Like I said, 18th and 19th, which was yesterday for the first bracket. I'm going to go check and see, you know, what happened and there, because I missed it, obviously. But I'm pretty sure it's going to be up on Twitch, because that's where they're going to be streaming it from. But that's really wicked. I mean, are you excited over something like that? Does that make you think something's cool?
It does. I love, you know, I'm such a nerd and a geek that, I'm all about esports. So, yeah, this is pretty cool.
I like that. And on top of that, they've also released the Clan Mech release schedule, which is awesome. They've got it out for June, July, and August. Clan Mech release in third week of June is the Clan Mech release one. Let's see, we've got, well, anyway, I'll let you hit the links, but point being, you've got third week in June is the first Clan Mech release. July, you're going to have the Uller Kit Fox and Blackhawk Nova for MC, and then in August, they're going to have the Thorn Summoner for MC and the Uller and Kit Fox for regular C-bills, which you can purchase. So save up your C-bills. First week of August will be the Uller and Kit Fox. Then the Daishi and Direwolf will be fourth week in August for MC, which everybody's, you know, all about that. And then you're going to have the Blackhawk and Nova for C-bills. So we'll go ahead and put, I don't want to name it all off, but let's just, big names you're going to be hitting: Puma Adder, Ryokin Stormcrow, Madcat Timberwolf, and Masakari and Warhawk. And let's just say by the end of November, you'll be able to get all of this for C-bills if you don't want to pay up front. But truthfully speaking, I fully expect them to have hero versions available for the MC. You're not just paying for that. I'm pretty sure they're going to have hero versions. And if you pre-order, you can always get a lot of this, you know, kitted and cheaper as one big unit. But now we're not talking about super cheap, because I was looking at prices between $100 and $250. That's real money. So that being said, though, you're paying for the mech bays and the mechs and every one of the mechs and the variation modules, plus you're getting a unique module, so our unique variation. So that's, I mean, I hate to say it, that's a lot of money, but it is money well spent if you enjoy this game. Basically, you don't pay a monthly fee, so $240, if you break it down into a sub fee, is not even half a year, really. And you're getting, you know, a lot of really nice mechs. But here's where it gets crazy. They've got gold-plated copies of these mechs that are available on pre-order only for $500. So if you're willing to drop a Fitzky on that bad boy,
right,
you know what I'm saying, daddy, then you go ahead and do that and get shot all to hell and back. Because I'll tell you right now, all I got to do is have one nice paint job and everybody finds me on the battlefield.
Right.
So that being said, MechWarrior... Clan mechs are going to be available starting third week June.
Yeah, I always like the Puma. I know it's a clan mech, and I despise clan mechs for the tabletop version. I despise clan mechs as a whole, but I do like the Puma.
The Puma's sexy. No, the Puma's a nice vehicle, man, for the size especially.
Yeah, just now honestly, the one I'm thinking of, I think it's the Puma. It's kind of the sort of bipedal, but it's just two big old clan ERPPCs on its arm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it has like the shell over its head, like armor.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. I like the Puma.
Yep, and she's a pretty beast. But I mean, I hate to say this, but most of the clan mechs have that bipedal stuff, except for the Summoner.
Yeah.
And I believe the Ryukin. Am I wrong on that? I think it's the Summoner and the Ryukin are the only non-bipedal, you know, reverse, you know, leg where the knees point backwards.
Right.
Yeah. So they love that design.
Yeah, they do. But, you know, I hope they implement some decent balancing, because, as you know from tabletop, man, clan mechs are just so freaking...
Yes.
More powerful than an Inner Sphere. I mean, double heat sinks out the ass, and you know.
Yeah, big time. But
clan ERPPC is, I mean,
oh my god, yeah, hits you from 30% farther away,
right?
And accurately.
Uh huh. Yep. Yeah. I hope they put some good balancing in there. Otherwise, it's a bad paid to win situation.
Well, and a lot of people are saying that, but truthfully, they've tried to really address that with the portability and change of the modules and the way that they're gonna allow the modules to be swapped out amongst the systems. I think it's going to be cheaper to own an Inner Sphere mech and swap it out than it is to own a clan mech, even though it's going to be modular.
I gotcha.
But that being said, speaking of, let me go ahead and toss that out here real fast. Two new available mechs, the Loop de Guerre, and anybody who knows me knows my family's somewhere back from France, but I can't stand French. So that being said, the Loop de Guerre is a trebuchet 50-ton. Honestly, there's a lot of mechs that do what the Loop de Guerre does. It's a hero mech, though, so you're going to get basically a medium pulse laser and SRM-4 on the left arm, Streak SRM-2 and Beagle active probe in the torso. Right torso gets a Streak SRM-2 and an anti-missile system, and finally the right arm gets a medium pulse laser and SRM-4. Wow. She tops at 105 kph, so that's high for a 50-ton, but still nothing to, you know, I mean, you know, it's not fast enough to get out of the way of an assault mech who wants to alpha strike your happy butt.
Right.
That being said, the hard points are one energy, one missile, 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 AMS, energy, missile. So she's kind of a walk-in gunboat, which is what you expect from a trebuchet.
Yeah.
But she's got 10 double heat sinks and 3 jump jets, which will get her out of an area really fast. So, plus her torso movement is enhanced. So she can go guns on quick, get you a bonus, and if you need them, if you absolutely have to fill a medium slot and you don't like any of the offerings out there, you can probably go with the Loop. But the amount of armor that she's got, 320 standard armor without any ferrofibers or anything like that, she's I don't know what to say. I mean, I'm not really super impressed with this particular mech, but a lot of people love it. Her paint job's got the fleur-de-lis, you know. So it's somewhat cool, but again, this is my personal opinion. Is it a good mech? Somebody's going to shoot me with it, I guarantee you, and I'm going to die a lot. So I'll learn to appreciate it, but it's not one of my favorites.
Well, now that, you know,
go ahead.
She's fast, fast-ish, light armor for the most part. You said a couple SRMs or streaks?
Yeah, she's got two streaks, a 4 and a 2.
So she's kind of a run in, hit you close, and maybe keep going.
And then she's got the AMS, so, you know, I mean,
But
the Beagle probe's really what helps.
And the Beagle, that provides lock, or
well, it allows you, even if you're shut down, I think the Beagle can find you.
I think it's an
enhanced scanner. I don't use it a lot, truthfully speaking, because you see more of those on scout mechs, like the Ravens and the Commandos and stuff like that, especially on Spiders and things like that. But other than the ECM, it's one of the, not one of the big ones that I use.
I gotcha.
Now, that being said, the Firestarter, the new champion, yes, I want one. And you were picking on me before the show. Is that the one you bought? You knew I didn't buy that.
I thought it might have been.
Oh my god, it's called the FSS-S with a C. But it gives you a plus 10% experience boost being a champion mech. Now this one I can see a spot for. It's got the 295 XL engine, so it runs 136 kph, which is booking for a 35-ton mech. It's got really fast torso movement, even for a small mech, so you got to actually kind of tone it down is what I would think. I haven't actually ran one yet, but with what I was seeing, 238 standard armor. I mean, that's as much as some medium mechs, you know. And she's got a medium laser times 2 in the left arm, a center torso medium laser, and medium laser times 2 in the right arm. And then she's got 2 AMSs. And that's it. So it's meant to run in there, blow the legs out from underneath something, and even though it's under heavy, you know, missile fire, and then get out. It's got 12 double heat sinks, so it can handle it, and a single 6 max jump jet. It's not ECM capable, so before you think that you're going to, you know, rip out one of those AMSs and put it in ECM, it is not ECM capable. It does have 2 module slots, but it's got the small movement type, so it's booking. Like I said, this is something that gets out there fast. I like the paint job. It's a red and blue fire flaming paint job. And truthfully speaking, would I buy it? Yeah, if I could get away with it and not let my wife see me spending the money on it, I would. But that's just me. It's one of the types of mechs that I enjoy playing.
Very cool. I've to an extent, I've considered re-downloading MechWarrior and jumping back in. I probably need to just...
Love to see you out there.
Yeah, yeah, just... I think I need to just buy a couple mechs, because, man, you know, the mechs you start off with, the freebies, man, I just get pounded.
Oh, yeah.
No matter what I face off against.
You play Scout, though, don't you? I mean, that's like one of your preferred roles is Scout?
I kind of like Scout. I kind of like more, I don't know what you would call it, like targeting for the artillery.
Yeah, that's a lot of times that's scout. Yeah, a heavy scout or a light medium usually handles that. Yeah. Wow,
that
so maybe that
like.
That may be that trebuchet may be exactly what you're looking for.
I know.
Bad mouthing it. Sorry.
No. You know, as I've said, I loves me some catapult. That'd probably be the first one I buy, and then a raven.
Yep. Oh, and don't forget the narc beacon. Another thing you might want.
And the narc.
That gives you lock-on capabilities, yeah.
There we go. Okay, that's what it was. Yeah, I just... Obviously, the ECM, I'm not super knowledgeable in all the ECM stuff, but... Yeah, no, that's cool. I may even do that tonight. Maybe re-download that.
Oh, right after you download GOG, right?
Yeah, right.
Alpha Centauri for $5? What?
That's right. Pillage. Alrighty, that's going to about wrap us up on news. We're going to move now into geeky stuff. Let's hit one of the big things that was announced yesterday. Wizards of the Coast, WotC, creators of Dungeons & Dragons, I don't need to tell you that. They have posted the new material. Now, we knew there was a new edition of D&D coming. We knew it was on its way. Oops, I lost my button. We knew it was on the way, and they have released the dates and the covers for the book. The Player's Handbook, DM's Guide, Monster Manual, and a couple other things.
Nice.
Yeah, they look good. They're going to be pricey.
Whoa! Yeah, they are.
Yeah, like $50 a pop, which, you know, if you buy the reprinting stuff of the first and second edition that's out right now, those are like $50. So let's see here. For the core books, August 19th is the Player's Handbook. Then we go to... What's next? The Monster
November
Manuals.
November 18th.
What?
No, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. The Player's is August 19th and a module... Oh, geez. Let's even go back further. You're right. July 15th is the Dungeons & Dragons Starter Pack. Gateway to the Game, Essential Rules, blah, 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 blah. Then, of course, August 19th, we get the Horde of the Dragon Queen, which is a Call to the Dragon, which is a Forgotten Realms kind of group of bad guys. So we get that little campaign along with the Player's Handbook. Then September 30th, we get the Monster Manual, and October 21st, we get the Rise of Tiamat, which is, I'm assuming, a sequel to the Horde of the Dragon Queen. And then, for some reason, November 18th, we get the Dungeon Master's Guide.
You would think, by historicals, they usually release Player's Manual, then Dungeon Master's Guide, or together.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's weird that they're doing them so far apart.
I know, it doesn't make sense to me. I'm trying to wrap my head around it.
I know, we didn't talk about that, but that's, wow. I guess, I don't know, maybe, you know what that sounds like to me? It sounds like that went to printers, something got screwed up, and they had to recall it and reprint it.
Yeah, it may have.
Because that's 320 pages.
In all honesty, I'm trying to remember when they did third edition. And I almost want to say they did something similar. They did the players, then the monster, then the DM's guide. I want to say they did that.
Yeah, but I mean, 5 months apart? 4 months apart?
Yeah, that's crazy. I don't get it. Well,
and at $50, man, I hope they're giving you like some Colorado weed with that or something.
Yeah,
that's
right.
That's a lot of money. I mean, I guess we're paying for the gas to have it shipped from wherever to from Oregon all the way across the United States, or...
I know. I don't know. But remember that with the new edition of D&D, it's going to contain the stats and pertinence and whatever for 3.5 D&D.
It's open source-ish.
and 4th edition. So this edition of D&D is supposed to be a combination of all three. So yeah, you're getting three versions in one book, I guess.
I think they're just trying to pay for the D&D Insider Toolbox. They still haven't got paid off yet.
Right. Well, you know, okay, so here I'm on the Wizards website, and we have a link to this in the show notes. I've clicked on the Player's Handbook, August 19, 2014. Of course, it's hardback. The price is $49.95. The page count is 320.
That's thick.
That's a pretty big book.
Yeah, that's thick.
It is a pretty big book. Let's see here. The Monster Manual, 320. And the Dungeon Master's Guide is 320.
I'm seeing a pattern.
Yeah, right. A very small pattern.
So if we divide 320 by 50,
right,
that's how much you're paying per page.
So let's see. The first thing that drops July 15th is the starter set. Gateway box contains essential rules of the game, heroic characters, ideal for a group of 4 to 6, pre-generated characters. It is a box, obviously, as they said. It's 96 pages, so kind of a little brief rule set, whatever.
That's why it's only $20.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, if you've ever bought any kind of campaign starter set from D&D, they're usually light on the fluff and whatnot. Yeah, so... yeah. But Horde of the
I'm
Dragon
up
Queen.
For it now.
Yeah. Horde of the Dragon Queen, 96 pages, $30. And Rise of Tiamat, 96 pages and $30 as well. So, when is Gen Con? Is that July or August?
Yeah, usually it happens in August, I think.
Okay. All right. So, we will have the Player's Handbook August 19th. Is that... That's not Gen Con. Gen Con's earlier than that, isn't it?
Best 4 days in gaming convention. Let's see.
We're looking Exhibit it up Hall. On the fly.
Heck yeah, that's how we go.
Shoot, because I... you know, gamer fail, I've never been to Gen Con.
Yeah, same here. I wanted to go meet Gary, and Gary died on me. 84 days.
We have 84 days until Gen Con?
That's what it says.
So,
84-day countdown.
So May, June, July. Yeah, that's probably August. Around this time in August.
Yep. That's usually when it happens. August 14th to the 17th.
There you go. So, okay, so here's another thing I want to wrap my head around. Gen Con, the D&D convention, and the Player's Handbook doesn't release until August 19th?
But the starter set does. Well, that's perfect. They release the starter set, which everybody buys, and then they demo the Player's Handbook there.
I guess. You know what? I honestly would not be surprised if the Player's Handbook is available at Gen Con, but doesn't hit retail stores until the 19th.
Oh, that would be just bad.
Well,
I'd be upset.
I'm sure that's
you guys
probably
work for,
what it's going to be.
You guys work for Guild Wars or something, man? I'll punch you in the face.
Right. you know, and that reminds me of the next thing I want to talk about in geeky stuff is Comicpalooza, a big local convention here in Houston, the Texas International Comic Book Convention, huge convention up and running, starts actually this Friday through Monday, Memorial Day, it'll be all 4 days. That reminds me because the con officially starts at 9 a.m. Friday morning. If you have the VIP badge and membership and entry fee, which is like $150, you get to go into the dealer's room. If you don't, you have to wait until noon that Friday to hit the dealer's room. So the VIPers get to go in and grab first pick, you know.
Nice.
And that just reminds me if they release the Player's Handbook at Gen Con, but not to everyone else until later. Those
Who else is going to be at that one?
At Comicpalooza or Gen Con?
Comicpalooza.
Yeah, I put this in the show notes because, of course, it's a comic book convention. It's a sci-fi fantasy convention. It is, for some odd reason, I cannot fathom. They are having a lot of wrestlers there. I don't get it. I don't know why, but they
what?
Are. Yeah, like
that's
WWE
the wrong kind of wow
guys and stuff. I don't understand it. I'm absolutely lost. I don't know, but So yeah, anyways, Comic Palooza is this week. I'm going to actually try to get this show edited and up ASAP. So if you're even remotely close to Texas, you can hear this and maybe plan your trip and make it in. Some of the big guests that are pertinent to this podcast that they've announced are Stan Lee. Everyone knows Stan the Man. This was announced yesterday. Stan's coming in. And I'm sure he's going to be the rock star of the con. I can't imagine he wouldn't be. Another big guest that I'm interested in meeting is Trisha Helfer from the new Battlestar Galactica TV show. You know, she was the six, Cylon type six, the tall blonde. Which is nice. She's pretty. She's hot. You know, the show was good for me. She is the voice of Edie from the Mass Effect series. That's why I want to meet her. Raphael Sabarge, who is a voice actor. He was the voice of Kaden Alenko in Mass Effect 1, 2, and 3. He's also done numerous voices for KOTOR and SWOTOR. And one, honestly, I'm probably kind of shooting myself in the foot here on this one. There's a lady who lives here in Texas. Her name is Samantha, and I cannot pronounce her last name. It's I-N-O-U-E, Inoue, hyphen Hart. She is a voice actor. She has done voices for WoW, DCUO, DC Universe Online, and City of Heroes. I hope, like I said, I'm shooting myself in the foot, I'm sure. I hope to meet her and maybe get a bump or two in her City of Heroes voices. I wonder if she would do that for the show. That is the plan. But we'll see.
That'd be awesome, dude.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Are you gonna record any of this so that we'll have like an on the spot Comic Palooza, you know, in your face episode?
Well, you know, I'm this week I'm gonna try and find, I have an Android, I have a Galaxy S4. I'm gonna try and find a good some kind of recording app or something like that with good quality and maybe get some bumps or, you know, stuff like that from the various guests. There's also like some video gaming, other than these guys, video gaming guests. And man, what is that guy's name? Just total fail. His name is George Giordano or something. Giordano, something like that. Mm-hmm. This guy, he's done some voiceover for video games, but his big thing he's doing now... Oh, he is probably best known as the stunt coordinator for, like, Toxic... You know, Toxie, the Shock... What is it? Toxie, the Toxic Avenger?
Really?
Yeah, he was, like, the stunt coordinator for that. A couple of those other cheesy, you know...
Nice. 80s like slicks, huh?
Yeah. Those bad 80s. Saturday. Chud. Yeah, right, exactly. Those crappy horror movies. But his current passion is making video game movies. So what he's working on, I think he's wrapping it up, is Fallout Houston, based on the Fallout series, you know, New Vegas and all that. He's currently working on a BioShock movie, which, as you know, I'm all about the BioShock. He's actually released a little, 15-20 second clip of he calls it the Air Grabber from BioShock 3. If you've seen the videos or played the game, this is the kind of tri-pointed spinning wheel that Booker wears and jumps onto the skylines with. He's made one out of a KitchenAid mixer. And it looks great. It really looks great. I can't wait. He's actually premiering the trailer for the movie at the convention, so I'm going to have to jump on board for that. But anyways, we'll have a link to the con in the show notes. That's comicpalooza.com, happening here in Houston at the George R. Brown Convention Center, taking up all three levels of the con. It is huge.
Wow. This Samantha Inoue, she's Japanese. That's where the name comes from, by the way.
Yeah.
And what was interesting, you should go to her IMDb page. You wouldn't believe some of the stuff she's been in and done.
A ton of anime and...
Dude, she was in Office Space.
Yeah, I saw that. She was in Office Space. Right.
In anime, I mean, anime, real movie, she's been in a buttload of stuff. I mean, yep. She's like going to be a super queen, you've got to get her autograph.
I'm going to get her autograph, like I said. If I can get her even just a minute or two audio recording, that would be swell.
You know who else is going to be there?
Who's that?
Jason Mewes.
Yeah, they just announced that today. That just came up like 6 or 7 hours ago.
Yeah, if you can get some audio of him saying, smoking that pipe, wigging that crack.
That's right.
You know?
Snooge to the nooge.
That's it.
Yeah, that's Jason Mewes of Jay and Silent Bob fame will be at the convention.
Awesome.
Yep. I cannot wait. I put this in the show notes as a little, I geeked out here for a little while. My wife works at NASA. She's a NASA contractor here in Houston, you know, JSC, Johnson Space Center. She will be on a panel at Comic Palooza. They have a section, they call it Science Faction. And there's actually a couple astronauts that are coming. And it's funny, one of the astronauts doing a couple different talks is actually in my D&D group, so... Dr. Stan Love will be at the con, and I'll have to get together with him, and we'll talk about our game. Nice. But Tracy will be on a panel. She'll be there as the International Space Station rep. Now, what I'm geeking out about is her fellow panelist, whose name I forget, because that's just how I roll. His dad, she was talking to the guy today, and the guy said, oh, yeah, you know, Comic Palooza has been trying to get my dad to come for 2 or 3 years now. And Tracy was like, your dad? Why? His dad, the panelist's dad, is Richard Launius, L-A-U-N-I-U-S. I had no idea who this guy was until she told me. He is one of the four creators of the board game Arkham Horror, which I freaking love. So, this guy, they've been trying to get him to come to talk about his game, which came out in 1987. It was originally published by Chaosium. Yeah, Call of Cthulhu, Chaosium. Nice. And then, of course, was later picked up and currently published by Fantasy Flight Games, FFG. So, the guy said, oh, yeah, my dad, he loves talking about the game, da-da-da. He said, yeah, bring your copy. My dad will autograph the box for you. I was like, yes.
Hey, that's like yes. That's like having Lucky autograph your box of Lucky Charms, you know?
That's right. Yeah. Like, last year on a totally different side note, I took my first printing of the Hackmaster Player's Handbook, and Jolly Blackburn, his wife Barbara, were at the con. They autographed it for me. So yeah, these people love to. You love to talk shop, and man, they'll sign this stuff for you. They love it. They eat
that
it up.
That is awesome.
Yeah. So yeah. Anyways, check that out. And if you're around Texas or Houston, hit me up on Twitter under Greatall @Greatall. I'll be at the con. We'll get together. And whatever. We'll geek out. Alrighty, Jay, you've got some Wil Wheaton news for us.
Yeah, last week we talked about Wil Wheaton, and we back and forthed it, so I went and looked him over, and I gotta admit, I was somewhat impressed about his strength of character as a person. I'm not gonna take back anything I said about how overhyped his character was, because my wife was one of his groupies back in the day. That being said, he didn't buy into his own character hype, so I'm going to give him his props. Mm-hmm. And also, that being said, he pitched a show called The Wil Wheaton Project to the Sci-Fi Network, and if you haven't heard about it, I mean, Wil Wheaton's pretty much, other than Sheldon Cooper, is the poster boy for gamer geeks everywhere, you know? Mm-hmm. So if you don't know, he is. And whether or not I like it, he's there. And truthfully speaking, he's not a bad guy. You know, I'd have a beer with him. I wouldn't buy him a cigar, but I'd have a beer with him.
Right.
He better buy me a cigar, actually. That yeah. being said, he seems like a really decent guy to have a conversation with. And that I think he's just from watching Geek and Sundry, him and Felicia Day, who I love Felicia Day. And I don't know anything about her personally. So I got to give Will, you know, his props, because it's not like he's tried to maintain some personal life. He knew he either gave that up when he was a kid. Mm-hmm. So between him and Felicia Day, they've done some outstanding stuff. So I want to give him his props on May 27th, the Wil Wheaton Project premieres on Sci-Fi Channel. So it's, you know, obviously going to be an exploratory romp on science fiction and the such. I'm pretty sure he's going to geek out on there as much as he possibly can. And he has a unique view on life that I've seen permeate all of his characters. And if he can bring that to the show, I'll actually Tebow that. So,
yeah.
And I, considering the real estate that I have on my Tebow is very precious, that's saying something. So, he seems, like I said, it seems like it's going to go somewhere. It seems like it's pretty decent. So give it a first shot, maybe even a second shot in case, you know, his beer comes, that's kind of skunky the first one.
Yeah.
But, I hope that it does take off for him because, you know, it's tough to live in your own shadow. And that's basically what he's been doing for quite a few years now. And so I hope he comes out and we get to see, you know, what he's got to contribute, because I think he's a very, I think he's a very creative, driving new force that needs to be done in the gaming and geek scene.
Yeah. You know, not every time, but a lot of times he'll go to local conventions and he'll run D&D games for people. He'll just open up a table and, you know, first come, first serve, and he'll run a 4 or 5 hour session of D&D for you. He's a huge gamer. It's
that great. Rocks.
It is. It's great. Alrighty, guys, that's going to about wrap us up for episode 26. On the way out, Blacklace will have our pertinent contact information. You can find me on the PlayStation Network, on Steam, and Raptor under Teletech 77062.
And you can find me under PlayStation, Raptor, and Steam under JAYSYNN, Jason. And on, you know, I just noticed this on Twitter, I'm JV8OR, so... Mm-hmm. I kept thinking I had that under Jason, and I just looked the other day and I'm like, oh crap, that's wrong.
Right.
So, at JV8JV8OR, JV8er. And that'd be me on Twitter. So, if you're following me, I appreciate it. I'll follow you back, and we'll take a look and see what we got to contribute to the Twitterverse.
Awesome. And yeah, like I said, I guess you can find me on Twitter under at Graydol, GRAYDOL. And Blacklace will have our Twitter info on the way out. So we're going to wrap it up. Thanks for listening, guys. Have a good one.
Be safe.
Thanks for tuning in to tonight's broadcast of the Pulse Gamecast, a production of Holosuite Media. Join us next week at Tuesday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And be sure to check holosuitemedia.com, iTunes, and Stitcher Satellite Radio for our remastered shows and more. You can follow us on Twitter at The Pulse Gamecast. Or if you have any questions or comments, please send an email to thepulsegamecast@gmail.com.